الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. Among the things that are of the highest priority in a person's life, in day-to-day life, is a person's safety and security. People spend huge amounts of money on security. Person will have the burglar guards already on the house, but on top of that he'll fit an alarm system. Then that alarm system also must have an armed response. But then that too will not be where we will stop. And then there would be a huge boundary wall, but that boundary wall will also be then topped with an electric fencing. And then on top of that, there would still perhaps be a guard posted outside. So all these steps are taken in order for a person to have that peace that he has taken some steps to secure his life, secure his property, secure his family. And whatever is within the limits of Sharia, Allah Ta'ala hasn't forbidden us to take the necessary steps. In fact, a person should look after his life, should look after whatever Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. It shouldn't be just allowed to be destroyed and wasted. So whatever is within the limits of Sharia, by all means, obviously there are certain limits to how far a person should go also. But in principle, that is within the permissible limits. But the point is that we take all these steps and we spend all this money because we have that value of our life, the value of our possessions, and obviously our family, our near and dear ones are very close to our heart. So therefore we do whatever we can to try and keep them safe. So all this is within, not just within the limits of Sharia, but what we are required to do. But as much as a person would take care of his possessions and take care of his family and look after his own life, beyond all this and more important than all this is looking after his iman, looking after his amal. Eventually one day, no matter how fit a person might be, whatever he might have done to secure himself, and whatever processes and arrangements he might have put in place to try and make sure that nothing goes wrong in terms of his possessions, his life. But how long? For how long is this insan going to remain in dunya? Nobody is going to remain forever. Nobody is going to be able to avoid that moment of death. And whether there is any virus around or not, prior to the virus also people were passing away, and now two people are passing away, and after the virus inshallah Allah Ta'ala take it away very quickly. But life, that's the process. That person has come with a fixed amount of life. إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When that appointed moment comes, then it's not going to be delayed by one single moment, neither is going to be brought forward at all. It's going to come on its time. Nothing can change that. Nothing can prevent that from happening on its appointed moment. So that is going to happen. But after that happens, then all these things that we were trying to secure so much in terms of our life, life is gone. In terms of our possession, we left it behind. Somebody else might enjoy it or squander it, Allah knows. And the people behind us, Allah knows whether they, after 1-2 days, they'll even remember us or not. Or they'll start getting too busy with their own things and forget to even recite something and send the sawab to us or make dua for us. Allah knows. So what is of greatest importance is what's going to come along with us. Everything else will stay behind. Everybody else will stay behind. But what's going to come along with us is our iman, our amal. And that is of the greatest importance in a person's life. So now just as when there are dangers to a person's life, to a person's possessions, so now he takes necessary steps to look after it. Though one day he is going to separate from it all. And though one day that life is going to go, there's no question about it. But while he's around, he has to do what he has to do. He has to secure it, he has to look after it. So just as when there are dangers, and when there's more danger, when a person is living in a land that's called South Africa, for example, then he takes much, much more steps to protect himself. Because South Africa is what South Africa is. So when we take all these steps to protect our life, protect our health, protect our wealth, protect our health, the recent months have shown us how conscious we are about protecting our health. That now perhaps something might catch us. So the person goes to such extents to try and safeguard himself. But all that one day we are going to have to leave this dunya and go. But what's going to come along with us is our iman. Now when there's a danger towards iman, when there are dangers lurking that are waiting to attack a person's iman, waiting to attack his haya, that haya regarding which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared that iman and haya are together. إِذَا رُفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِعَ الْآخَرُ When haya will go, then the other will go also. It's not possible that one will go and the other will remain. How close is the relationship between haya and iman? Now there are dangers lurking, not lurking, that are making a full out attack. Nothing from any hidden quarters anymore. Out in the open. Full attack on iman. Full attack on all the values of iman. And especially on haya. And then comes that time of the year when all this gets to its peak. When the attack on iman, the attack on haya in particular, in terms of the environments that get created, in the name of so-called celebrations, in the name of so-called festive seasons, and the name of so-called the silly season, where people take leave of their intelligence, they call it the silly season. And a person, if somebody calls him silly, he'll take offense. This is a very, it's an offending thing that a person be called silly. But they themselves name that season silly. Because they take leave of their intelligence, that the lines between insan and hayawan, between a human being and animal becomes blurred. A person conducts himself in such a way, people behave themselves in such ways, that insan don't behave like that. Hurting others, causing takleef to others, becoming a nuisance to people, and what not goes on. So now when this becomes the environment, what is the conduct of a mu'min? Somebody who treasures his iman, somebody who understands the value of haya, someone who understands that tomorrow he's going to have to lie in his qabr, and nobody and nothing is going to come along with him. He's going to be lying alone in his qabr. His iman, his amal. Somebody who has yaqeen on the day of qiyamah, that I'm going to be resurrected, and I'm going to have to answer for my deeds. And somebody who has full conviction that there is jannat also, there is jahannam also. وَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ He has this full yaqeen that that person who is going to be safe from jahannam and be entered into Jannat, only he is successful. Now, a person who has all this iman and yaqeen, and also has yaqeen in the uncertainty of the time of death, meaning when it comes, he has no idea. It doesn't wait for any particular age to come. It doesn't wait for a person to necessarily get sick. It doesn't wait for a person to be in a particular place. It might come anywhere, anytime, without announcement. And he has all this faith in akhirat, This yaqeen that life really only starts when his eyes close. So now, is he going to be careless? Is he going to be casual? Is he going to be taking that approach that everybody else is seeming to be having fun, so why should I not join? How can I get left out? Everybody is in the midst of all the hordes on the beaches and in the malls and where not, and all the kind of merrymaking that's taking place. So why should I get left out? One is the harm that comes to a person's amal, his haya. But then there's a further very, very serious matter in this, where people start getting caught up in so-called Christmas celebrations and so-called New Year's celebrations. Sometimes it takes a person on the brink of iman and kufr. For example, person gets also caught up in the so-called New Year's celebrations. So now he's waiting for the turn of the clock, for that midnight, for the last moment to come, and then he starts behaving also, Allah knows best in what way. Now he says, no, he's celebrating New Year's. What is New Year's all about? Open the encyclopedias and look at what's this all about, and you'll find it's named after Julius Caesar. He started this off, and this was named after so-called Janus, who they believe, na'udhu billah, summa na'udhu billah, that was the so-called god of gates. So in other words, the root of this is in complete shirk. Or something that has its roots in shirk. Whether people now realize or remember where it started off from or not, that's a different matter. And if a person is not conscious of that, maybe it might not, that fatwa against him might be on a little lighter note comparatively. But something that has its roots in shirk. A person with iman and coming to something, being part of something, having any kind of involvement in something that has its roots in shirk. Where can these two things join? Everything else, a person who might be the worst mushrik, deen teaches us, treat him kindly. لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِتُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah Ta'ala is giving us very clearly the prescription in the Quran Sharif that those who are not at war with the believers, Allah Ta'ala has not forbidden you to be kind to them, to be just to them. Justice, forget justice, beyond justice. Kindness. Even to the person who is a mushrik. And this couldn't have been more clearly highlighted like the Quran Sharif highlights it, that in the case, for example, Allah forbid, somebody's parents are mushrik. Allah Ta'ala grant them hidayat, but somebody's parents are mushrik, and that person, mashallah, has accepted iman. Parents, after all, parents. And now there's a very soft spot. And the parent is now not just a mushrik, but that parent is insisting and pressurizing that son, that child, to also commit shirk. Can we imagine the situation? What can be worse than that? There's no sin worse than shirk, which condemns a person forever to Jahannam if he dies on shirk. But those parents are now pressurizing this person on shirk. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِيمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِي عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. That if your parents are pressurizing you, are insisting upon you to commit shirk, don't ever obey that. You can never. But in that same ayat, in the same breath also, as we may say it, in our terms, Allah Ta'ala says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. But treat them kindly in the world. But even those mushrikeen parents, you cannot be unjust to them, let alone unjust, you cannot even stop being kind to them. But there's a very clear line. A mu'min will stay within the line of iman. He will not cross that line of iman and go anywhere close to something that is linked to shirk, something that's going to affect his iman, something that's going to affect his akhlaq, especially something that is going to harm his haya. So therefore, any environment, and this is where one of the very great safeguards are, that a person keeps himself in the right environments. And this is why there's so much of emphasis on two particular limbs that Allah Ta'ala has blessed insan with. Allah Ta'ala highlights this in the Quran Sharif many places. Right from inception, Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ مُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Right from inception of insan, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala brought you out from the wombs of your mothers. لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You had no idea of anything. You knew nothing. Insan comes in the world, what he knows? That little baby, what he knows? Allah Ta'ala highlights now. Entire insan, his old existence, entire existence, his hands, his legs, his mind, everything Allah Ta'ala blessed him with. Allah Ta'ala highlights three things. Allah Ta'ala granted you hearing. Allah Ta'ala granted you sight and blessed you with a heart. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So you'll be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. This is at inception. And then many other ayat, Allah Ta'ala mentions the same thing. And then Allah Ta'ala reminds us, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Remember, when you came into this dunya, you knew nothing. Allah Ta'ala blessed you with the faculties of knowledge. That the child starts listening to sounds, starts already at that very, very tender age, barely few months, can start recognizing the different sounds. Which is the voice of the parent and which is a stranger's voice. And then start seeing things. And the heart Allah Ta'ala blessed to analyze what was looked at, what was seen, what was heard. And that starts translating into knowledge. And the child starts building up and learning things from there. And now he starts living his life. So Allah Ta'ala is reminding us, remember, be very careful now how you use this sight, how you use this hearing. And be careful about the environments you take it into. Because whatever you are going to hear, even if it is sometimes going to be by accident, what you're going to see, it is going to be sometimes by accident. But if you don't take care about what impact it had on your heart, it'll start building up. That accidental glance also. If you didn't then take the care to wipe out the effects, it'll start layering upon the various layers of darkness in the heart. And sooner or later, Allah forbid, it might start dragging a person into those things which he was repeatedly looking at accidentally. His heart will get inclined. And then when his heart gets inclined, he'll start looking deliberately. When he starts looking deliberately, he'll start wanting to act also. So now this environment, this is the highlight of that. That look after your eyes, look after your ears, because that is a direct link to the heart and it impacts on the heart. Now a person says, well, it's holiday time and everybody is having a merry time. So why should I also not go wherever I want to go and be part of anyone and everyone? But what's going to be the case there? Is the eyes going to see that which invites a person towards Allah Ta'ala? Is the eyes going to see that which increases his iman? Or is the eyes going to keep seeing that which is going to attack his iman? Which is going to destroy his haya? He says, well, it's a fair now and everything is going for a bargain. But that fair, how unfair to the iman? How unfair to the haya of a person. How unfair to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That way he knows that there's concentrated sin. One is a person out of necessity has to go to buy something. He has to go to the bazaar, wherever. Then too he is being reminded. Ahabbul biladi ilallahi masajiduha. Wa abghadul biladi ilallahi aswaquha. That remember, the most beloved of all places to Allah Ta'ala, the masajid. The house of Allah Ta'ala. So as far as possible, keep yourself in the house of Allah Ta'ala. Extend your time. You've come for salah, spend 2-3 minutes more. Make some tasbihat, some tilawat, some zikr, some istighfar. Make some dua. Beg Allah Ta'ala's help. I have to go out in the outside world now. Ya Allah, without your help, I'll get swallowed up there. Ya Allah, you protect me. Protect my sight. Protect my hearing. Protect my heart. Protect my iman and amal. Make dua. Take a little bit more time in the house of Allah Ta'ala. Come a little earlier. Allah Ta'ala is giving us this, that this is the best place on earth. And wa abghadul biladi ilallahi aswaquha. Of all the permissible places. The impermissible places where there's all fitna and corruption, that is out of the question. Of all the permissible places is the marketplace where a person out of necessity has to go. But he's being told, look, this is the worst place. Worst of all permissible places. So now a person is going to some place where he's worried about his health. Now he's worried about his health, he's putting a mask, and then now he's sanitizing, and what not he's doing. But have we worried about sanitizing our hearts? Have we worried about masking our iman from the harms and the attacks? There's no physical mask for it. And no physical sanitizers for the heart. The sanitizer of the heart is a connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The sanitizer of the heart is tawbah and istighfar. And the mask that's going to protect our iman is keeping ourselves in the environments of deen. In the environment of the masjid. In the environments of the company of the pious. In the environments of going out in the path of Allah ta'ala. In the environments that invite merely being in that environment, it starts making a person conscious of Allah ta'ala. Person comes to the masjid, he might have come by chance. He might have come for some work, not even to perform salah. He came for some maintenance maybe. The Muslim, unfortunately, sometimes he may not have been very conscious about his salah. He came to fit something, fix something. But at that time now the adhan went. He's in the house of Allah ta'ala. People are now walking in. People are performing the sunnats. Is it going to be possible he's going to walk out without performing his salah? What made him perform his salah at that time? Being in the house of Allah ta'ala. That encouraged him. That inspired him. I'm in the house of Allah ta'ala now. The house of Allah ta'ala inspires towards righteousness. Now the person is in the bazaar. He's in the marketplace. And he didn't take his precautions. He is being casual about it. He's going to sightsee. He's going to just look around. He's going because everything is exciting here. The whole country is here. The whole ummah is here. So why should I get left? Because a lot of fun and excitement. We'll see if you want to buy something. There's no need to go buy anything. But now it's very exciting, very fun-filled. But now what are we playing with? Taking chances with what? When a person leaves such environments and he reflects on his heart, can he safely and honestly say that his iman, forget, has increased, has remained at the same level? What if moth comes in that environment? What if that's the last moment of a person's life? Now, this is the necessity for us to start reflecting. What is our highest priority? While we take so much of care and so many steps to secure our homes, secure our families, to try to protect ourselves, but that is only to a point. And within limits, within Shariat, limits of Shariat, and within reasonable limits, that is not just permissible. We have been encouraged also to take care of our things. But one day all this is going to stay behind. Neither we are going to be around, and neither are these things going to remain forever. But we are all moving to the Akhirat. We are going to be laid in our qabr. We have to answer to Allah ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. There's a little bit of sabr. Just a little bit of sabr. That is what is required. And that sabr is what will take a person through. A little sabr on his heart. It might seem like there's a lot of fun out there, but that is just the deception of shaitan. We need to conscientize our families, conscientize ourselves. More than sanitize, we need to conscientize. Conscientize ourselves about the realities of life, the realities of Akhirat, that where we are headed to, and how we are going to answer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And our greatest priority is to protect our iman. So therefore, we should stay far away from all such environments that are going to be harmful to our iman, harmful to our amal. That little bit of so-called fun and excitement is not worth taking the chance. Allah forbid, a person leaves there and leaves there with his iman damaged. Leaves there with his haya, with his family's haya in ruins. It might take years to maybe overcome that damage. How much life we got, we don't know. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we become very conscious of these realities and we connect ourselves to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala keep us with iman and take us with iman and raise us on the day of Qiyamah with iman. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله.